This is slightly unique. I brought a friend with me today. Let me just reflect on that text for 1 minute before I introduce Pastor Jan. The end of that text in 1 Chronicles 16 says this, "Sing to the Lord all the earth." And then it says this, "Tell of his salvation from day to day, and declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." If you've been with us for any period of time, I've shared this story about when I had just finished grad school, I went to Poland, and sitting in the back of a sanctuary, all of a sudden got called up to preach. And the man that called me up to preach is sitting right here. And I always wanted to do a little bit of payback. So I got my chance, although I gave him a little bit of a head start. Warning. This is Pastor Jan Tomczyk. He is from northern Poland. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of his resume, and you would be surprised to find any individual in the U.S. that is able to have done or been continually doing the things that he has done. He just retired, required by age, an age limit he set up as part of a denominational leadership in his country. The senior pastor of Evangelical Christian Church in Bydgoszcz, Poland, a church he himself planted. He is the camp director and founder of what's called Camp Eden, which just celebrated its 41st year of ministry. In fact, we've had two teams from our church go and serve in that camp, one of which was just this past summer. He is a national board member of what's called the ECC, which is basically like the denomination of evangelical Christian churches in Poland. He is on the board member. For some period of time, he was the president of that denomination. And he has planted, I believe he's planting right now, his 10th church. So for one individual to do all of that in the U.S. would be crazy. There's one other thing I forgot to mention. With a dear brother, he started a Bible college seminary, and for many years was overseeing and caring and doing that. So he's at the denominational. Usually in the U.S., those are all individual jobs. Like you'd have somebody working in the denomination, or you'd have somebody pastoring a church, or you have somebody serving in a seminary, or you have somebody directing the oversight of church planning. And in Poland, there's kind of been one guy that's done a little bit of all of that, and he's sitting right here. And I can't tell you how many times I have been sitting at my own table like last night talking to him, or sitting at his table in Poland, or at one of someone's hospitable home in my travels there, and I've been sitting with this guy, and I'm like, I would love for our people to kind of get to sit next to him, hear a bit of his story, and let him minister to us. And so here he sits. We don't have any soup around us and coffee, but at least you're seated and so are we. And I want you just to be able to hear his story, hear a little bit about what's going on in his country, a country that literally he grew up in the shadow of Auschwitz, in a country that is dealt with communism in the eastern their part of Europe, in a country that is few evangelical Christians, where this faithful brother, now in his 70th year of life, has been ministering for over a generation. And so, Jan, if you wouldn't mind, well, could we just welcome him real quick? Jan, maybe if you could start by sharing a little bit of your story, even your parents' story, as we kind of talked about you sharing last night.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Sorry for my Pinglish, but that's Polish English. And the Lord does mysterious ways. I don't know why he called me, but he did. When I was a kid, it was a bit communist time. I remember my father and mom would like to sing a song, Christian song. So they sang it not loud, that neighbors wouldn't hear it because they could be reported and you could lose a job. I was maybe 5-6 years old. Later on, I learned the story of my father. He came from East, you know. All these leaders like to change the borders, left, right, left, right. Everybody came and helped himself from Poland and left. So my father came from East, and when he was 13, one day the Secret Services knocked house of my mom, grandma, and dragged out grandpa. He never came back. He was 13 then. I asked him, what did you eat? How did you do it? Well, we knew which roots to eat from woods. There were honey in woods, wild bees were there, and so on and so on. One day, he was asked by grandma, Peter, it's the name of my father, would you go to the city 6 miles, get the cup of strawberries, which just grew up, sell them, and buy some matches? So he walked. The pioneers have seen him. He is a farmer. He is doing a business. They came, trodden the whole plant of strawberries. So if you want to know how was the life, it was like that. My father, my grandpa was Christian, which is unique, because there were services from revival which swept eastern part of Russia and even further on, through Germans who emigrated during Tsar Katrina to help farmers because there was a lot of hunger. So there were many of them were Christians, and they started to preach the gospel there, they learned, and the revival swept many, many regions, many, many villages. Sometimes the whole village was Christian, except maybe a few communists who were not. So my grandpa was taken away, but my father didn't want to come to the Lord. It was, tough. But grandma would take kids and walk to the woods. You know how far? As far as the secret services would not like to follow them. 9 o'clock they started, they finished at 3. There were only grandpas who could read a portion of scripture. They didn't have Bibles, they had, if anybody had a paper, wrote a bit of Bible, and they would quote, they would sing hours and hours. This was service. My dad, one day, coming back, said, I have to come to the Lord. The presence of God was so strong, in spite of so hard persecution, he came to the Lord. When he came to the Lord, he found, I don't want to stay in Russia. Because he was Polish. So he decided to join the army. Stalin in that time formed a Polish troops in Russia fighting with Germans. But then my father reminded himself, I'm a Christian. Christians in this country don't take weapon. They were not like you Americans, everybody has a rifle at home. So he prayed, Lord, he got, one bullet rifle. The Lord help me not to kill any German. He's going to war to fight with Germans. He walked to Berlin, didn't shoot once. After the war, he aimed the tree and said, I wanted to see how it kicks. And he came, married my mom. My mom was a unique lady. We lived 10 miles from Auschwitz. And one day, my mom shared the story that 1945, when the Germans decided they are losing the battle, Russians were coming to liberate the Auschwitz camp. So Germans decided to lead as many as possible out of Auschwitz to have slaves in Germany. They didn't make it because the Russians were faster, but they killed many people. And one day, they had to stay overnight in my farm, in farm of my grandpa. So three ladies were still on hay. My man took a fork, covered them, and Germans couldn't find them. Praise God. 20 years later, my man gets a letter from Canada. Mary, I am saved. Another lady wrote, I am saved. One we don't know. Two other ladies were hidden in a shed of coal, and they let them out, so they were safe too. She was unique in this case. Then at the noontime, she says to my grandpa, Grandpa, we have some guests in the hay. Oh, it is a bullet on your head from Germans if they would find it. Oh, get them some bread. and some coffee. Coffee was made out of rye. You burn it on a stove, grind it, and made the coffee. It was real coffee. This is the story of my parents. They were very, very special to me, but I didn't want to be a Christian. That's too hard. And in the 1950s, we had persecution, and the guy who caused the persecution in Poland, they confiscated all the hymn books, all the Bibles, whatever they could. You know where he was found? In the United States. They received him on asylum. He persecuted Christians. One of our leaders was 5 years in prison. This was tough. But in spite of what happened, my mom was praying for me. I am telling this, I couldn't lie to her. I was a good sinner, but when she would talk to me, I had to say truth. And one day she said, Jan, you need to have a New Testament to your school. Oh, no, mom. I joined the Youth Socialist Club. How you want me to read the Bible? My father didn't know it till the end of his life. He would probably got out of the grave. And what happened? One day I escaped from boarding school and they took me to a church. The Lord prepared for me a guy, older man, and they shared their testimonies on the service. Instead of preaching, they decided to share testimonies. I was sitting in the second row, and he would talk to me, all my sins, which I did, he says to me. So, well, who told him that? My mom would do that? But then the second thought, my mom does not know what kind of hooligan she has. Because I was always nice at home. Oh, Lord, that's your spirit talking to me. You know what I have said? Lord, forgive all my sins and lead me your way. I don't want to go anymore on my own. And the Lord was faithful. I left the church. I look at people, why they are so boring? I'm so happy. I'm free from my sins. I took my big Bible, which I was ashamed before. It was, you know, red covers in the old systems. And my friends in boarding school noticed it, said, hey, Jan, what do you read? Oh, Bible. What? Are you crazy? Bible? If you'll be old, you'll read the Bible. So, no, I want to read the Bible. Why do you read it? Because I'm saved. What you are? You have to remember, Catholics don't know this team, be saved. I don't know how they had this question. Why are you saved? Because I believe in Lord Jesus. And the Bible says so. Well, I just was a new Christian. I didn't know where it's written. So I prayed, Lord, in this big Bible, show me. I just pointed it like that. Oh, maybe in New Testament. Romans 10, everyone who confesses Jesus is the Lord will be saved. And I read it to them, I was victorious. You know what they told me? But it's written, will be saved. If you were 15, 16, would you be so smart? The devil tried to push me down. But, you know, I was giving them testimony through all next years, a few more years. And when I visited them in the fifth grade, when some of them were still there, said, Jan, we wanted to live like you, but we couldn't. So this was the beginning. Then I went to study theology and went to the ministry. I went to work for the Lord, 1976, sorry. Three of us met, three brethren met. Let's build a church. In the communist time. Well, we can do that on private names because we found that the Roman Catholic churches also did it, you know, priest bought a piece of land and built his house. Later on, they knocked a few walls and they had a hall. So, we did the same. Secret services came. Sir, pull these walls down according to the blueprints. Said, no, we are not doing it. One day they tried to trap me to be collaborator with them. I found it later, 1980s, during the Solidarity time. They knocked, I got up 1:30 at night. You know, when you are young, you don't need to go to restroom at this time. But that day I had to. I didn't switch the light on. The bathroom was in one corner and the light went on my entry door and my log is turning, you know. So what is this? Who has a key to my home? Well, they were already a few times in my room, in my apartment. Then I said, you know, when the time changed with Solidarity, I said, what did you want to do? You want to place me a gun? Oh yeah, we had a guy who testified that he sold you a gun. And I had three children. Would you collaborate or not? Or you go to prison for 3 years? This is a system of communists working until today. The Lord spared me, and now I can testify that on my papers from the past it's written, not good enough to services under secret services, not good enough. But the Lord spared me. It was a invention which they used to have, you know, how to punish people, how to trap people, how to make people nothing. 1977, we started to build this church. The Lord was with us every step. You know, when you have so wonderful buildings here, so light. Construction is wonderful. In Europe, we build concrete, solid style, concrete, metal, and so on. We needed a floor in the church. No steel. No shortages. No cement. We're going to do the ceiling. We have 3 bags of cement. 50 kilo, 100 pounds each. Do concrete ceiling with this. One of the brother of Daniel asked me, older brother, Jan, do we come to work tomorrow? We have only 3 bags of cement. Yes, we are coming to work. In the morning, Jan, do we open the bags of cement? The cement mixer will make it dirty. Oh, we are going to open the bags. They open the first bag, mix the concrete. I was on the top. One was carrying wheelbarrow. Richard, his brother of Daniel, was mixing it, and I poured it out. There's a lady coming. Hey man, you are concreting here. I have eight bags of cement. Would you like to buy from me because it's autumn and till spring it'll be rotten? Oh, praise God. I had a car, very small car. I went to her. She lived like 1 mile. I loaded 6 bags of cement. There were another staple, another bags, 9 bags. Do you want this to sell too? Yes. You know, the brethren came in the afternoon. We had 17 bags of cement. It was not enough. 6 o'clock comes. We are working. A truck comes. Hey, guys. We have 1 ton of cement spare. Would you like to buy it? If this was not the Lord, forget it. You will never accomplish anything. The beams we had, metal beams, we got some from a dear sister 200 kilometers away, and they were too big for us. But then, you know, when finally we built this church, the inspection says, okay, guy, now we have to see what is the resistance of your ceiling, because for multitude it's different one than for people in private home. So they came, measured it, 504 kilo resistance. 500 was needed. If we had beams 14 centimeters, we wouldn't pass the test, so we'd have to have basement with walls across. The Lord was good. The day of opening, we had 5 people to baptize, and we had funeral, and we had dedication. Well, a year earlier, the Lord gave me the idea it would be so good to have a youth camp. So, to make it shorter, we went to a village with Daniel. He was faithful. When he was 14, he was with me. We look at the place, nice place at by the lake. Okay, someone delivered the money from England, Brian Brook. I never saw this man again. But we wanted at first to buy a house in Venezia. In Polish, Venice is so nice name, you know. I was dreaming camps in Venice. We went to Oćwieka, horrible name. But the first day, the first camp we organized there, a next door neighbor, son of a communist mayor, one of the hooligans, he was 17, would beat everybody, you know, when they have these dances and so on. He would go there, drink and fight, and she had only problem with him. We built a volleyball court. Can I play with you? Okay, sure, play with us. We have a tent meeting, we sang a lot. One day he comes and falls down on the floor. Lord, forgive all my sins. I said, Lord, what are you doing? Son of a communist mayor will be kicked out of here. He's faithful till today. His mother is 96. I visited her a month ago. She was reading the Bible later on because my father gave it to her. The Lord is doing amazing, amazing works, amazing works. Don't know
what have been some of the difficulties you faced over your decades of ministry, over 40 years of ministry? What have been some of the challenges you faced, and how have you or others, other Christians, kind of tried to handle that?
Well, you know, different times we could share life in previous century, 50s, 70s, over 80, and then 2000, over 2000. The first years in the communist time were the most hard, but you know what? We're so nicely persecuted that brethren loved each other dearly. With the freedom, you know what happened? Pornography came to Poland. Very loose life came to Poland. And the love disappeared in many hearts. The Lord is willing us to shake. I have a very nice portion of scripture which I want to leave with you. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Some people lost the patience, started to look to the world. We have to wait for him to come. He promises he's coming. So, the first year, up to during 1980, when we built the church, I sold the biggest number of Bible before Pope John II was elected. People were interested to read the Bible. We had solidarity movements working. There is nothing out of that anymore. There were nice rules, but only symbols, ideology. People were looking, they were hungry for God's word. So this is how we started to, right away, when there was a chance, build churches, we buy churches. The Lord gave me good friends, you know. I got one good friend, said, Jan, if you need a building to buy, in that time, dollar was very, very strong. So we bought a house where we established a church for $1,200. Another place, $1,200. Another place. So as many as possible, I tried to have buildings, organize people, Bible study groups, who would come with guitars, sing, and this is how it grew. Today is more difficult. Today is different time, but we also have to change our minds. I was not aware, but my daughter moved to Lublin, and this is a small Pentecostal church, and they had a video, and I was preaching for them. On Monday, I opened, there was 1,000 people who watched my video, the video from this church. So we have to now have a clue how to change our minds. People still need Lord Jesus Christ. We have to preach Him. I'm not good in technical stuff, so that's my weakness. But maybe the younger generation will carry it on, so we could deliver gospel to the whole nation. The youth ministry is the most blessed ministry we have. 41 years. I don't know how I made it through, you know, I had a stroke a little bit, and the Lord is so good to me still. I can talk, and you probably understand me. And 1,200 kids and young people came to the Lord over these years. In Poland, we are the less evangelical nation in Europe. The less, least. One and a half in 1,000 would be evangelical. The Roman Catholic Church is strong, and in the cities they are more open, but in the villages they are rulers. If you go to Protestant church, it's a deadly sin. You have to confess it, and you are told then, don't go there anymore. In big cities, it's a different story. So, present situation, we need your prayers, brethren. We need your prayers. And we need your help too. Come, minister to us. I'm so happy that your group came this year. And they were such a blessing. I told to Greg that they were the best group which came from the United States and were so faithfully serving our people.
Why is it helpful when a group like one of our from our church comes to the camp? I mean, how has that helped ministry over there?
You know, one of the things is that many Christians are a little bit, you know, humble. They are like insignificant. Their testimony is not good enough, not loud enough. So when we see more Christians coming, especially from America coming, we tell everybody, well, in America we have more Christians, because in Poland we are not nothing. 1,500, what is this? Who you are? When friends come, people love to come. We even invite, when we organize in the church some evangelistic outreach, so we invite foreigners. And you know, Polish people want to come when foreigner is preaching. When I am preaching, they don't want to listen to me. Well, now they listen through the internet. But this is something which I don't get. So thank you for your nice offer, nice sharing with us. And teams like, you know, singing things, singing groups, they can gather at multitude. What we do, we try to, you know, in the previous years I have printed 50,000 Gospel of John. So when we had this kind of stuff, we started to distribute it. I don't know what happened with them. Some of them were found in the bucket, but some of them are still in the home. There's one lady, you know, I was a taxi driver also, because we couldn't be employed as pastors. If we would be employed in the coming time as pastors, there's one thing, you would have to pay horrible insurance. So I said, okay, I'll be a taxi driver, the best I can do. I put a sticker in my car. Only in Jesus is the life fulfilled. So I had Gospel of John and spread it. 30 years later, there come a lady to my church. You are the guy from a taxi cab. You gave me Gospel of John. And I came to the Lord later on. So when you hear things like that, are you built up? Yeah, share your faith with everybody you meet, because Lord Jesus died for them.
I think it's interesting that to listen to the stories. I can't tell you how many different dinner conversations I've sat with Jan or some of our brothers and sisters from Poland to hear the amazing ways God has worked, and believing that the same God who is the God in Poland, the same God who cares about the people and is ministering to them, is the same God here.
Yeah.
Who loves the people in this country and in our region, who cares for the people in your office places, in your extended family, in your classroom, if you're in school. He cares about that. And just to think about that, we've started, as a church, we've started what we've called a strategic partnership with Poland. Specifically, we're supporting a man named Daniel, who was actually here last year with us. He preached. He very much has been, as Jan mentioned him earlier, has been underneath Jan and serving beside him for many, many years, kind of helping running the camp, and at one point was leading the seminary and things like that. And this is what a strategic partnership looks like, where we benefit from one another, where we go over as a team and minister right alongside Daniel and Jan, and then when we can snag Jan for a Sunday morning, we bring him here and have him minister to us. And you see how it works. It's not just a money thing, even though that is part of it. It's more than that. It's also a relationship, a strategic partnership, where our people are serving theirs and their people are serving us, and all of that is for the glory of God and His kingdom. If I could ask Jan, and I mentioned this to you last night, I was going to kind of ask you what you would say to us. How would you, just in a few minutes, just kind of encourage these American Christians here in the Midwest? What would you say to them?
What I would tell you, dear brethren, stop grumbling. You are the richest nation in the world. And if you would be found in some our situations, probably some of you would be scared to death. But the Lord is with us in every single step. He promised it. He's with us. Doesn't matter what happened. You know, I love the verse, if you walk through the waters will not cover you. If you walk through the fire will not consume you. Why? Because the Lord is with us. We have to walk through the waters. We have to go through the fires. Otherwise, if you want to be a really godly man, a woman, you have to be persecuted. Well, we don't like it, don't we? But you know, the Lord is closest to us when we sometimes need Him the most. And His presence in my life is the sweetest of all the things I have, I did, I experienced. The fact that He is with me, it's the best. What happens to me, the Lord does it. You know, Polish, we have a national health system, government. So I signed for a visit because I need to check up a few things. Oh, next year, 2019, is the queue. Well, I went to hospital accidentally. In 3 days, I had a pacemaker installed. I said, oh, is it so fun? And I got the best doctor without, you know, any connections, anything. In the communist country, you have to know that the system doesn't work as it should work. We have now liberated liberation from communists, but they are still behind, you know, these roots are followed. So if you are with the Lord, whatever is needed, He will grant you. If He is willing to give you the best, He will give you the best. But if He is willing to take you home today, tell Him, Lord, I am ready. If you are, say it, amen.
We to think that the churches that Jan has started or pastors at in Poland and this church and our brothers and sisters and churches nearby are all embassies of one God on one mission. That we could not just work together but be on the same mission is encouraging. Well, I hope you're encouraged by hearing from Pastor Jan, and I wish we could have even more time with him, and maybe again. He does have a few grandkids in the U.S., so we'll steal them again, because we got some bartering tools for that. But we're so thankful. Could you just thank him for coming here this morning? As part of our strategic partnership with Poland, there's an evangelical mission agency called Poland Evangelical Mission. They have regular monthly updates, ways that you can pray. We'll have out in the lobby of copies of these that you can snag if you want to take one, put yourself in an email list. It's just a wonderful way that we, in partnership, can be praying for one another and serving together, and we'll continue to find ways as a church in relationship to minister with one another. I'm going to pray for Jan and for Poland and for our church, and then we're going to close by singing the doxology together. But would you just pray with me for a moment? Father, thank you for the grace of the gospel. Thank you that you are at work in this world and that our brother can come after 40 plus years of ministry and tell stories of cement bags showing up or a sticker in a taxi cab and a gospel of John leading a woman to faith in Christ, or the amazing ways you provided for your children in communist Poland, or the way you used Jan's own mom in the shadow of Auschwitz to save some women's lives. Father, those stories just seem beyond what we're used to thinking about and the way we used to live and what we prioritize, a football game or thinking of our own work and not your kingdom. Father, may we be encouraged by our brother and his exhortation to us that we, this rich nation, would be filled with Christians who would not be tempted to love the things of this world, but would be on mission for Jesus Christ, knowing full well that sometimes it is in suffering and loss that you bless most your people. So help us to be on mission. We pray for the churches in Poland. We pray for Pastor Jan. We pray for Daniel. We pray for all of those men and women who just a few hours ago were gathering as we did, worshiping you and praising your name in a language we don't speak, but a Lord we know well. We pray that you'd bless Jan as he continues to speak in many churches over the next few weeks until he travels back home. Father, thank you for letting him be with us today. Help us to be encouraged and exhorted by his words and by your word, Father, which says that we must declare your glory to all the nations. And that means both Poland and even here in the United States. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand as we sing the doxology together? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise